writer of the series. So this series is given with a prayer that as they are studied and applied, our faith will increase. The faith life is the real Christian life. Our Lord has designated the Christian life so that it can only be lived by faith. The faith life is the required Christian life. Our God requires faith. And then he said, I hope you will attempt to memorize the entire 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I don't remember when we introduced this, if I put that challenge out to memorize the entire chapter. I might have looked at it and thought, oh, that's a lot of verses, and I might not have even put the challenge out there to you. And I thought, Lord, that's a lot of verses in 13 weeks. And so I started learning a couple here and a couple there and a couple here and a couple there. And by the grace of God, I was able to memorize that chapter. And it's not because I'm smart. It's because I took opportunities with these little cards. And when you have a spare minute, pull it out. When you have a spare minute, pull it out. When you're sitting there eating your lunch, pull it out. If you can safely drive and look at it, I'm not sure that that's possible, so be very careful with that one. But having them with you and reviewing them. It seems like a lot of people can memorize verses, but where we drop off and where I have dropped off all of my life is on the review, on the bringing them back in front of you systematically so you'd have them. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, let them get away from us. Review. Review is the key. A system, whatever system you have is great. If it's not working or you don't have a system, use the one in the pew in front of you. Pull out the little card and follow the system. And start with one verse and start with an easy verse. And get that into the system. And then do another easy verse. And then and then put some verses in there. And what's nice here at Faith Bible is that this pastor quotes so much scripture when he's preaching. It is amazing how much scripture he quotes when he's preaching. So these verses, as you learn them, you know, you can come from sitting out there for years, and you can already know them because you've heard pastors say them so many times. You just need to get them written down and get them into the system. So I praise the Lord for the opportunity to have been able to learn this chapter. The Lord is good, and the Lord will help you to memorize. He will help you. Again, our final lesson in the series, have faith in God. Lesson 13 in your books. Lesson 13. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your grace with us sinners. We're thankful for your mercy on us, your tender compassions that are new every morning to us. Lord, we're thankful that we hold the canon of Scripture whereby you have given commandments and direction on how we should live our lives. Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the power of the Word. Lord, might all these things be part of our lives. Lord, we're thankful for the Word. We're thankful that as we read it and study it and memorize it and meditate upon it, that it makes a difference in our lives. Lord, might it also make a difference in the lives of those around us. Lord, we pray for our pastor this morning over at the Evans Chapel and the service there, and then safety as he comes over here, and then with him here. Pray for the Sunday school teachers throughout the building. Lord, we pray for power on high on their lives. We pray for the Holy Spirit to work in each heart. We pray that your word would reach the mark of each heart that it needs to reach. Lord, we're thankful that your word is alive and that no matter where we are, it will come and give us directions wherever we are. Lord, we pray for power today on each of us. We pray for your spirit to rule and reign. Lord, we thank you for these folks coming out this morning, them getting up and getting ready. Lord, now I pray that your word and your spirit would meet the need of their life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The author and the finisher of our faith. Life is compared to a race, and the arena of this race is the earth. There's an audience for this race. The audience is not to get our consideration. We give them our respect, but we keep our eyes upon the Lord. There's an appointed path for us. This race is set before us. My race is not like your race. God has a plan for my life, and God has a plan for your life. Our aim in the Christian race, in the race of faith, our aim is to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Aims throughout the lesson today are to have our eyes always on the Lord Jesus and make obedience to Christ our only goal in life. Secondly, to understand that as we look at the Lord, we will lay aside the weights and the sin which does so easily beset us, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. Then to learn that the Christian life is a race to be run with patience, and the strength is found in waiting on God. Then lastly, to see that Jesus Christ himself provided not only for our salvation, but also provided for the great example of living the faith life as is pleasing to the Father. Our memory verse this morning is Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Who's ready with that this morning? Brother Marvin? Hebrews 12:2. Nice job. Someone else? Good to attempt it, even if you're not dead perfect on, if you think you know it. Kelly?
Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay, praise the Lord. About any of our gals this morning? I guess I shouldn't call you gals. You're over 30. Not much? Okay. Okay, anybody? Okay. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Following along in your lessons, all eyes are to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. We come now to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. There's no greater subject to consider than the subject of the person of Jesus Christ. We have faith described for us in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have faith defined it for us in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Brother Moore, thank you. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let's read that passage. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to keep our eyes focused on the Son of God. We need to keep our eyes focused on the Son of God. If we keep our eyes focused on the prize, it'll help us as we run. Pastor Cole talked last week about setting, when he was in track in high school, setting records. Thank you, Brother Chuck. Setting records, and he said some of those records still stand to this day. When he set those records, when he was running those races, I wasn't there, but I can tell you where his eyes were. His eyes were right straight ahead on the prize. He wasn't going along and thinking, oh, there's my mom and dad. Well, dad wasn't there, was he? But there's people I know, and no, it wasn't. His eyes were on the prize. He was looking ahead. And as we run this Christian race, we need to look unto Jesus. We need to keep our eyes focused. We need to look right on. If we look at others, we can get discouraged, can't we? Because we look at others and we sometimes we look at others and we think, that guy looks like the perfect Christian. And then as Pastor says, and we find out they're not the perfect Christian and we can be disappointed. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Things that we would expect others should do and they don't do can dishearten us. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to look unto Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Life is compared to a race here in Hebrews 12. And the arena for this race is this earth. The Lord Jesus came to this earth as man without ceasing to be God. And that is amazing when you think about it. Without ceasing to be God, he became man. In John 11:35, Jesus did what? John 11:35, Jesus wept. Thank you. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because he was man. That's why he wept. Because as Martha and Mary were there and said, Lord, had you been there, had you been here, our brother had not died. And he had a heavy heart. Why did he have a heavy heart? Because he was man. He became man. And when you think of an endless God somehow taking the form of man, and then you see that he hurts as they hurt. And we realize that God was successful in becoming man and taking all of it. All of it. Jesus Christ has run this race as man. Not just as God, where he knew everything and could do everything and could make everything happen. He ran this race as man. We can do it. He did it. He'll give us the strength. We simply need to look unto him. He suffered. He bled for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. He ascended on high and became our example in faith. Jesus Christ became our example in faith. Hebrews 4:15. Flip back a few pages, Hebrews 4:15. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of... 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What a blessed scripture. He's walked this path before. He's walked this path as man. We have him as an example. We have him to look to. The next page in your notes, Christ is our goal. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. They say runners training for a race wear weights in training. Anybody in here was a runner in school? Do you guys, your training, did you wear weights and stuff like that? Okay. Wow, you see the arms go down. Very good. I like that. I've seen boxers throughout my life where they'd be going around town and they got weights here and they're bouncing and they're jumping and they're just going around and I'm thinking, that guy's tough. He's getting ready, he's training. Those weights. So they do use the weight. And when he gets tired, he says the arms drop down. Wow, very good. Thank you for that. Wasn't a runner. I wasn't a baseball player. I wasn't a football player. I don't know. I never got to do any of those things. I couldn't throw, kick, catch, or anything. But I got a wonderful wife throughout it all, so I guess I did all right, didn't I? The Lord is good. And he's good all the time. Lay aside the weights and the sins which do easily beset us. What's our besetting sins? Anger? I mean, I don't know what yours is. Everybody has a different temperament and we all have battles that we face. What is our besetting sin? We need to lay them aside and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In like manner, in our race of life, we lay aside the weights. It is getting our eyes on the Son of God and looking to him that encourages us to lay aside the weights. You may battle something in your life that hinders you from being your best for Christ. That is a weight which needs to be laid aside. The Word of God continues, and the sin which does so easily beset us. All of us are troubled by besetting sins. The race we are in demands we lay aside the weights and confess our sins. You know what's the hardest part of confessing our sin? Is realizing our sin and calling it sin. First of all, we got to realize it, and then we've actually got to call it sin. And call it sin before God and say, God, that's sin. And I want to honor you in my life. And we pray that, then we pray that God would forgive us and give us strength and victory to honor his name. Ecclesiastes 9:11. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The race is to who? It's to the faithful, to those that look unto Jesus. We're to run with patience the race that is set before us. We can run without becoming weary if we wait on the Lord. Turn with me to Isaiah 40 and verse 30. Isaiah 40 and verse 30. Isaiah 40:30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The young men will die out. They'll get tired. They'll faint. But they that wait upon the Lord, that's how we run the race. We wait upon the Lord. When we get up in the morning, our first thought goes to the Lord. It goes to a verse that the Lord gives us. As we lay our head on the pillow at night, and we go to sleep praying, talking to the Lord for the guidance, for the direction. That's how we wait upon the Lord. In this race, we run with patience. The goal is always God. Keeping our eyes are always to be upon the Lord. Always to be upon the Lord. If we take our eyes off Him, we'll come up short. Christ is the God-man. John 8:23. Turn with me to John 8:23. Christ is the God-man. John 8:23-29. This reference is not written in your notes. You might want to jot this in your notes if you go back through it. John 8:23-29. And he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" And Jesus said unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, and have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world for those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye lift up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." I do always those things that please him. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did on this earth. He did always those things that please the Father. We as Christians need to always do those things that please the Lord. It's to our benefit to do those things. It's to our blessing to do those things. Notice he uses the name here, Jesus. We're dealing with the humanity of our Lord. Remember, he is both Son of Man and Son of God, yet one person. Talking to someone one day that was a Mormon, "Well, how is that possible? Can you explain that to me?" "I can't explain that to you. I can't explain a lot of things to you. All I know is that God said it, and that it's true. That's all I know. I can't explain that to you. You're just man. How could you possibly comprehend the totality of God?" We won't on this earth. In heaven we will, but we won't on this earth. How is that possible? I don't know how it's possible, but I know that it's true. We have the record of it here. God became man without ceasing to be God. God became a man, just as much a man as if he were not God, and just as much God as if he were not man. We must not speak of the humanity of Christ to the neglect of his deity. Absolutely not. But as we consider his humanity, he expressed faith in the Father. His prayers were real prayers. He prayed by faith. His pain was real pain. As he suffered on that cross that day, that pain was real. When the nails went in, they went into a man. They went into flesh. The sufferings of that day were real, and he endured them by looking to the Father. His disappointments were real. He dealt with these disappointments by faith. His death was real. He really did die. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that the blood is the life. The blood is the life. And Jesus Christ gave his blood, gave his life for us. It is Jesus Christ, the God-man, who defeated Satan. As man, dying on the cross, as a God-man dying on the cross, he defeated Satan. When Satan was showing him the kingdoms of the world, what did he use to defeat Satan? Uses the scriptures. He used the scriptures. And he durst not, mixing up the scripture about Moses. Yeah, durst not bring a railing accusation against him. Yeah, when contending for the body of Moses, right, in Jude. Satan's a powerful enemy, but he can be defeated. He can be defeated. John 8:29. So it said, "For I do always those things which please him," which would be his Father. If we're going to live the faith life, we must follow the example of Christ Jesus. As believers, we are to deal with life just as the Lord dealt with life, and that is by faith. In Hebrews 11, the Lord referred to the example of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents, Gideon, Samson, David, and many more. We've looked at all these characters. We've looked at their lives. We've seen that God gave them victory. Their names are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. But now, Hebrews chapter 12, now we want to look beyond them. We want to look beyond them to what they were looking at. We want to look beyond them to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from when? From the foundation of the world. Salvation is now and always has been in that Lamb. Salvation has never changed throughout all mankind. It has always been in the slain Lamb. As believers, we are to deal with life just as the Lord Jesus dealt with life, and that is by faith. In Psalm 16, turn with me there. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 16 is written by David, but it's written about the Lord Jesus. And in verse 1, he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." And then down in verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me." I have set the Lord always before me. Jesus Christ always looked to the Father. I have set the Lord always before me. Christ is the God-man. He is the God-man. If you don't believe me, then read the record of those that walked with him. That walked with him. You can read the account. They were there. They saw it. Martha was there. Mary was there. Martha was there when the Lord rolled the stone away. And the Lord said, move that stone. Lord, he's been there 3 days. We don't want to move that stone now. He's been dead 3 days, Lord. You go ahead and move the stone. Lord, I know he's going to live again in the resurrection. No, he's going to live again today, right now. They saw the God-man. They saw him. We have their record here. It is a true record. Then Christ is our example. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Go to 1 Peter 2:21. Actually, 21, 22, and 23. 1 Peter 2, 21, 22, and 23. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Christ was our example. Christ was the God-man that walked this path before we did. The race here in Hebrews chapter 12 says we need to look unto him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He showed us the way. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Do not misunderstand. Christ is more than an example. He is our Savior. But he did provide the perfect example for the faith life. This is why we should be looking unto Jesus. The Lord set the example for us, and we are to look unto Jesus, the author, the leader. This is the way he lived, and it is the way that God expects us to live. And it is the guidance and the strength by which we live. Our questions, turn in your questions. Monday, according to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, where should our eyes be fixed as we run the race? Looking unto Jesus. Tuesday, Hebrews 12, 1, what must be laid aside to run this race properly? The weights? Who motivates us to lay these aside? So great a cloud of witnesses. Excellent. Hebrews 12, 1 and Isaiah 40, 31. Why is waiting on God a necessary part of life? Who wants to answer that? Can I get a hand? Go ahead. Okay, excellent. Anybody else have anything? Yeah? Not be weary. Excellent. Anybody else? To renew their strength. Okay, very good. Waiting on the Lord gives us the strength to run the race without becoming weary. Very good. Psalm 16:8, what Bible expression found in this verse helps us to understand what it means to live life by faith. I have set the Lord, who's got it? I've set the Lord before me always. Excellent. Friday, according to 1 Peter 2:21 through 23, in what ways has our Savior provided an example for us? Verse 21, Christ suffered for us. Verse 22, he did no sin nor guile found in his mouth. Verse 23, he reviled not again, and whom suffered, and he threatened not. And then he committed himself to the righteous judge. And then Saturday, Hebrews 12, 2. What was the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus Christ as he endured the cross? I'd like at least three answers on this. Kelly?
His joy was fulfilling God's will and providing the way of salvation.
Okay. Somebody else have anything? Ma'am?
Despising the shame.
Okay, anyone have anything else? Okay, excellent. Thank you very much for coming. Kelly, would you pass out the new books? We're starting our new series, The Glory Due His Name. Memorize the verses. You're going to get a verse each week out of a different chapter in the book of Psalms. Memorize these verses, hide them down in your heart. They'll be a blessing to you. The reason I'm up here, there's a couple of reasons. There's a lot more light up here. Man alive, I like it. You can see things and there's more room. And actually, I'm going to be preaching here in a couple of weeks, and I wanted to get through the fear of the pulpit before I actually have to preach. Thank you very much for coming.